Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk this morning. You know, we some things we just take for granted. You know what I mean? In this day that we live, you know, a person gets saved and the Spirit of God comes in and dwells the believer. Amen? And now we are, the Spirit is there guiding us, directing us, convicting us, urging us. And it seems kind of like that's the way faith is, right? It's just, that's just the way it is for us. Amen. We take it so much for granted. Before Christ came to this earth and gave His life and then ascended to heaven and sent the Comforter, the Spirit of God to indwell every believer, it was the Spirit only came on for somebody for a task and for a period of time and, you know, a prophet and so forth. And so we get to enjoy what the greatest prophets that we read about in the Old Testament enjoy. And that is the Spirit of God indwelling and empowering us to do. You're like, that's just normal. Wow. He's come. And this is what much of the Old Testament was talking about, this day. This power was going to come, and even Jesus said, "Go," told the apostles and told the disciples at the time, "Go wait for me, and I will send power." He said, "And after that, the power has come upon you. You shall be what? Witnesses unto me." So the power, the Spirit of God, is there just so that we can really live a fun-filled life. Yeah, part of that. But it's so we can be a witness. Well, Habakkuk chapter 1, if you found your place there. I've tried to stall long enough for you to get there. Habakkuk chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 13. Find your place. Let's all stand together. Habakkuk chapter 1. Those that are cheating and using their phone, they get there pretty quick. Those that are trying to find that, you know, a few little chapters stacked in there. But Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, this is Habakkuk talking to God, and he says there in verse 13, he says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." So Habakkuk's telling God what he can and cannot do, right? He says, "Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?" Drop down to chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk says here, he says, "I will stand upon my watch, and will set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved." I mean, it can sound like Habakkuk is full of himself a little bit here. I'm going to stand up here, up on my tower. And he said, "I'm going to watch and see what God's going to say to me." And he's talking to God. "I'm going to see what you're going to say and what I'm going to answer when you reprove me for saying what I've said." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into this morning. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're so very thankful that we have these words preserved for us, Lord, that you've got so much to give us, Lord, so much to help us to know who you are and to know your spirit, your desire, your purpose. Lord, you've given us so much that we might learn to put our trust in you. Lord, if all we had was just the New Testament from the time of Christ, we would have enough to live this life. But yet, Lord, you've given us so much to know your plan and to see how you've promised us so much, and you've followed through with that. And we can put our hope, our faith, our confidence in you, even when this world looks in chaos. Lord, I pray that you would bless now this morning. Help us to receive these words from you, Lord, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, we find here Habakkuk wanted God to do something about the iniquity and the violence that was among the people. He wanted God to do something about it. Habakkuk was concerned that the law of God, right, the Old Testament and so forth, that was it was slack. And the people weren't following it, and they weren't obeying it, and God wasn't responding to them. Habakkuk was upset about this. It's frustrating. Can I tell you what's frustrating? It's frustrating when God's people won't do what they're supposed to be doing, let alone trying to reach the world. Man, I'd like to just clear up a space for this for a while this morning. I would. And I don't want to clear too much space because we've got a lot this morning, but I'm going to tell you what. This is supposed to be a time for us to be equipped for the work so that we can be a servant. What we just talked about in Sunday school, right? We're to have the spirit of being a servant, and then we're to be calm and gather together and get in God's Word that we might be better equipped to be a servant. Sometimes equipping is giving us some knowledge, right? Sometimes being equipped is giving us some tools, some truth. Sometimes it's to be exhorted and encouraged and reminded of the Word of God. And we're to do that so that we can go and charge hell with a squirt gun, in a sense. You know, it's an old thing. But it's so we can might get about the work of reaching the world with the gospel. But so often what we find, and I'm telling you, we are living in a generation that the Christianity is so lukewarm that most preaching in most churches today is geared to getting the believers just to try to get them back to being a servant. Right? It's like, hey, would you come get in the battle with us? I'm telling you, so much. And this is what Habakkuk was seeing. His nation, his people, their sin was just all, it was a mess. They weren't regarding the Word of God. They weren't trying to live like Jesus Christ. I mean, like the law. Kind of blending. You understand what I'm saying? It's so slack. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating when we have to spend so much time on just trying to get the believer to be where they ought to be so that we can be a lighthouse to reach the rest of the world. Right? Because you know what? We kind of, in some respects, and not in some respect, but we expect the world to hate the Lord. We expect the world to oppose the message. And some people, you could talk to some people, start talking to them about the Word of God, like, yeah, I don't really want to hear that. You could kind of, you ever start talking to somebody, you're just in the conversation, you're trying to get to the place of to be able to find a way to invite them to church or to talk to them about the Lord or just get in that conversation. And you just like, you're just barely kind of peeking in the door a little bit and you already see their countenance like, you're like, oh, isn't this tough? But you know what? We expect the world to do that. Amen? We expect the world to do. We expect those that oppose God to. But you know what's frustrating? Is when God's people, when we start to say, hey, I mean, saved followers of Jesus Christ, and you'd say, hey, that's not really the Spirit of God. And you see that same look, right? That same look that the law, can I tell you personally, I don't mind contending with the lost, with the Word of God. I don't mind. I expect it. And I've been cussed out. I've been thrown out of properties. I have been so close that I prayed that God, after that fella hits me, let me just wake up from it. I mean, I've not had any violence, but I've been as close as one could possibly be. I expect that. I'm not saying bring it. I'm not saying that. But when we contend with the enemy, those that oppose God, we kind of expect a little bit of that. But you know what's frustrating to me and disheartening and discouraging? When it's the ones that are supposed to be with us, that they're the ones kind of, you know, poking you in the back and grabbing. And Habakkuk is looking around. And he said, God, there's all this. Are you going to do something about this, God? You're not hearing my cries, you're not listening. That's where Habakkuk was. So God informed him, Habakkuk, it's already in the works. Can you see just God say, can you trust me? I've already got something going on. You know what I want to say? No. Because I want to see it. Frustrated. Amen? Amen? God, God said, listen, I'm going to tell you something what I'm doing. And even if I tell you, you won't believe it. It's pretty intense. And God begins to say what I'm going to do. I'm going to use the Chaldeans to take care of this mess. And then Habakkuk cried, whoa, that's too much, God. And he wanted God to fix the problem, but not by such a terrible way as to use the Chaldeans that were such a much more wicked nation. I hate the fact is I'm just like this. God, would you do something about this? I mean, God, can we get the believers to be what they ought to be? And then they get afflicted. You're like, well, God, don't kill them. I'd like them to be a little bit, you know, burdened in their heart, a little bit repentance. Wouldn't repentance be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if people were up here at the altar, up here, and we got to clean up tears? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, yeah, as long as it's not me. I mean, I'm just saying it'd be awesome, like, God, but sometimes to get anybody there, some people have to go through some things that are very, very devastating. I don't want the devastating. I want, God, can we just fix this without any pain? Don't you think that's kind of what Habakkuk wanted? Fix it without pain. God, would you just give people a burden? You know what I think we lack today? Is a hunger for the truth of the Word of God. We as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, we come to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. Nowadays, people are watching podcasts during the week, listening to this message and watching this show and all these things about God. And we get so much, so inundated, that you know what can happen? It just becomes another message. Just becomes more news. We got an information overload. And so it becomes, we are so stuffed, right? I was watching this video, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It was showing about different volumes of food. It says this is 500 calories of this, and it crumbled it all up, put it in this bucket, and this is 500 calories of Doritos, which is pretty awesome. But crumbled it up, and it's like just this little thing, and it just kind of showing all this stuff and what we're, you know, filling up, and it showed this, and the guy's just, he said, this is 500 calories of meat, and he just dropped, you know, and you're looking at this, and he said, and here's 500 calories of fruits and vegetables, and it kind of filled up the whole thing. He said, well, it's all the same. He said, what we're filling ourselves up with, what we're filling ourselves up with is different. You ever get so full you don't want to eat anymore? Yeah, that's America. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do that a little bit, right? But sometimes what happens is we can, in our day and age, if you want news, you get it while it's happening. I'll tell you, if I hear a police car flying through town, right, it seems like it's happening more and more in Titusville, I can immediately, I know I don't do this, but I can immediately go over to Facebook and people say, hey, what's going on? And like within, like while it's happening, while it's an active crime scene, people know what's going on. I mean, we get news while it's happening. I don't want all that. I don't want to know all the bad stuff. But what can happen is we can get so much that we lose our hunger. Like this, folks, it ought to be we come in here this morning and say, God, what do you have for me? A preparation. God, what are you going to give me today? What am I going to get today? And you know what happens when we do that? We're looking for it, right? And so what had happened, though, and we find this situation is for Habakkuk, he wanted God to fix the problem, but he said, I want it to be, can you do it a little less than that? Do it in an easy way. And really, can you say, God didn't say this, but can you hear God saying this? It doesn't work like that, buddy. It doesn't work like that. Most people, by the way, where they got to, this wasn't going to be a problem that was going to be fixed in their generation. Wasn't going to be fixed with them. So we find Habakkuk doing this, and he says now waiting to see God's response to his complaint. It seems that he, in verse chapter 2, verse 1, that he was expecting to be reproved by God for his flipping back and forth. God, would you do something about it? You're not listening. I'm crying. You're not doing anything, God. So I'm doing something. And then he's like, well, God, you can't do that. Right? So number one, that was all introduction, sorry. Number one, the Lord's answer to his charge. So first of all, this was not simply, what's happening here in the book of Habakkuk was not going to be given, it was not simply to be given to the people of that day. As I mentioned last week, they had already heard these words over and over and over. They were already warned, but they continued to turn their back on God. This, what God was doing, wasn't for them. But it was for those that would read it through the generations, through the ages. And so this challenging truth that God was dealing with in Habakkuk's day continues to be a problem throughout all time. And it's this, really, and this is one of the main problems that Habakkuk was struggling with. The first problem Habakkuk thought was important, the second problem was more important. Why do the wicked thrive? It's a constant thing throughout the Scriptures. We find this, the Psalms deal with this, and we find this throughout. Why do they get away with sin and debauchery? Why does God allow these things to happen? Why does God allow good people to get sick and die? Why does God let this... Usually it's why does God let my good people get sick and die is usually what it is. So many people get upset with God about this kind of thing. And others say, how could there be a God if these things can happen? Right? So, this book of Habakkuk, it's for us today. As much as it was for any other time in history, it's for us today. So, why write it down? Why preserve this message for generations? Look at verse 2 now. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Okay, so by the way, can I just say this? First of all, God doesn't owe us an explanation of why he does what he does. He doesn't owe it to us. We can't sit there and say, God, I need you to explain this to me. And you know, Habakkuk said, I'm going to get up on my tower, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to find out what you're going to say, and then when you reprove me, I'm going to decide what I'm going to say back again. God doesn't owe you an explanation, nor does he owe me. Matter of fact, if God explained the explanation to us, we probably wouldn't understand it, we wouldn't get it, we wouldn't agree with it. Just like Habakkuk. God, I don't think you should do that. You can't do that. That's not who you are. God said, oh, thanks for telling me who I am. Needed that today, right? God doesn't owe us an explanation. But he instructs Habakkuk to write this vision down that whosoever reads it may continue to run this Christian race in faith. He said, well, they weren't Christians. You know what I mean? To run the life of following the Lord in faith. Faith is hard, folks. Amen? No, it's easy. Anybody that says faith is easy doesn't really understand faith and probably doesn't have much of it. Faith is hard. Faith is hard. Faith is saying, I'm going to trust the unseen God to do an unseen thing that doesn't make sense to me. So listen, here's why God doesn't owe us an explanation. Let me rephrase. It can sound kind of haughty. God doesn't owe you anything. I don't owe you anything. That sounds kind of haughty, doesn't it? And I don't think that's the case with God. I don't think it's God saying, well, I don't owe you nothing. No. Listen, God has already given us much more than He owes us, than we deserve. God doesn't give us an explanation because it doesn't fit into our thinking. It doesn't work with us. There's a lot of things I hate the way things go. The way I wish I was in a different generation. Until I got there, then I'd wished I was in a different one then too. Because that's kind of the way we are, aren't we? We're so discontent no matter what we get. And then we're like, I wish I had something else. And we get that and like, yeah, well, this is good. But I like the way it was before. Like, I can't make anybody happy. And by the way, we are of that same lot. And so God says, it's not that I don't owe it to you because you ain't going to get it. But He said, I do want to tell you these things. And I want this to be written down. So, because what's going to happen is this is going to be read. This is going to be recorded. Write it down on tables. This is something that, on tablets, on something that's going to stay, a clay tablet that's going to be a record. Because I want it to be looked back at down the road. At what I did happened the way I said it was going to. God is giving us a look now into how He works among the peoples of the earth. Right? Both among the wicked and among the more wicked, right? How the wicked will be used to turn man back to the hope of the Lord. God uses the wicked and He's used them through generations, through many generations, to turn the heart of man. God will use wicked people. God will use situations, destruction, all kinds of things. God will use those things to turn the heart of man. And we would say, God, could you do it another way? Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you say, God, could you do something other than taking life? Especially my loved ones. Can you do something else? Can you do something else other than having mass destruction? Amen? Wouldn't you say, God, is there another way to do this? And God's, I'm kind of just giving a little bit of a, you know, conversation that we might have with God. And God says, well, would you listen now, then? So, you don't want me to do that thing, but would you listen now? Well, God, I think everything's fine. And God says, it's not fine. That's the problem. If it was fine, we wouldn't need to do anything. You'd already be on the right track. And it could be going forward. But the problem is, you're not. But you think you are. And so God says, something's going to have to come. And, well, God, can you just do a light thing? God says, that's cute. I've been doing these light things for a long time. And it's gone too far because the light things, He said, well, can you just do a medium thing? He did those. How about just a hard thing? God said, you've killed my prophets. You've rejected. You've turned. You've lived a life that's so full of emptiness. He said, no, it's time. I've got to do hard thing, a really, really big thing that's actually going to be for the generations ahead because we've got so much mess here. So God says, I want you to write this down so you can see, so that the people beyond can see why and how God works. And He's doing this thing. And look at verse 3. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Listen, what God is about to unfold is coming in the days ahead, in the future. Which is kind of the actual idea of a prophecy. Right? It's prophesying something in the future. But many that will experience what is about to happen will not see the fulfillment of the vision. Okay? You know, sometimes what happens in your life right now, what God is going to do in your life right now, you're not going to see how that's going to unfold. You may never see it this side of heaven. God may be doing something in your life right now, not for you, but maybe for your children or for your children's children. Or maybe not even children, maybe just for people around you to say, I remember. Wow. I know people that have, I know believers that have went through great trial. And I'm talking about pain, suffering, and they came through it with their hope in the Lord. wow, great, great victories. I've seen other people go through lesser trials, difficult times, and completely remove their life from putting trust in God. So sometimes, what we're doing now, folks, God's doing something in our lives at a time, and I don't like it any more than you do. As a matter of fact, I probably hate it worse than you do. I want things to always go nice and sweet and easy, right? But nice and sweet and easy doesn't really turn people, does it? He said, I'm about to unfold some things. It's going to be in the future. It's going to be, and the people may not see it. We like to look at the immediate moment in time we live in, right? God, what are you doing right now? What are you going to do right now? We want to see everything work out in our own day. But God has a much bigger picture. What would you sacrifice for the salvation of your children? What would you sacrifice for the sake of your grandchildren that you don't even have yet? Right? I mean, I think we would sit here and say anything, right? Amen? It's anything. I would, except for we don't, do we? And this is where we find ourselves getting. Yeah, I would sacrifice anything for them. I've talked about this in the past, but I was a chaplain in a county jail for several years, and I would go in there and talk to people, and I'd always realize there's somebody that loves these. And just God's moment. Somebody loves these people. Somebody tried to raise these people, and. And now their life is heading. They're heading to the pen. Some are just they're stuck on drugs. I'd always think, you know. And I would just think. I thought, man, I'll bet there's somebody behind them that says, "I wished I would have." If when the consequences were there, they'd say, "I wished." I imagine they said, "I wished I would have." God said, "My picture is bigger than yours." What can be an encouragement, though, is this. And here's the encouragement for us this morning. Is that God will complete the vision. And all will be judged according to their own wickedness. Listen, it's not as it seems for us. It's not as it seems. It could seem like that man is getting away with sin and violence. It seems like, wow, God doesn't even care. God's not even. Look at verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So number two is this. Point number two. The just shall live by faith. So there's a contrast here. God's people, those that are seeking God's will, God's way, and God's word, and his righteousness, those people, they do not live like those of the world. You hear what I'm saying to you this morning? When I say they don't, not supposed to, and if they're living like their lives are not to be filled with self-reliance, with pride and violence. No. The just shall live by his faith. So in other words, the just lives not just to survive, but to live a life of security, of hope, not in this world only, but in eternity. Listen, if this is all that we have, just getting through 70 or whatever bonus, some of y'all are like, I hope it's not 70. Anyway, amen. And but God's given. It's not just to get through this life. If this is it, we are of all men most miserable. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If this is it, let's just go home and let's go do our own thing, whatever. But our hope is beyond this. Amen? Our hope is beyond, our security of eternity is beyond this. Listen, the just, they live not by their works and, or by their will or even by their success, but they live by or as a result of or because of their faith. The just will continue to live by their faith in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation after generation after generation. There's going to come a day when this world, and imagine after the rapture, and all the believers are gone. All the believers are gone. And God's going to raise up some preachers at that time. By the way, new preachers, new people to get saved. Because all the saved have been raptured out. So nobody that has a testimony of living for Jesus Christ, but a new. Somebody that has a testimony of trusting Christ in the midst of the worst destruction this world has ever known. They're going to trust Jesus Christ then. And there's going to be people that at that time are going to look at Habakkuk. They're going to read Habakkuk and say, God said this was going to come and God did it. And so, wow, we can trust what He's doing. And so there's going to be people, there has been people that have trusted the Lord, the just, that have lived by their faith through all these generations. This theme is thrice quoted in the New Testament. Keep your place here if you would. I want us to go over the New Testament just for a moment to see this in Romans chapter 1. Start in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. I want you to see this. This isn't an Old Testament theme of the just living by faith, but it is the New Testament. Look back to this book of Habakkuk and dealt with this. Romans chapter 15 and verse Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The same theme of God's judgment coming upon those opposed to the truth, but the just shall live by their faith. As it was written, he looked back there, he said, we're still putting our hope in that. Y'all get that this morning? Oh, I don't think you do. Your faces aren't showing me you get that like I'm getting it. Okay, I want to try to help you. Thanks, I appreciate it. So here's what that means. What God said to Habakkuk, I want you to record this. So they that see this, that they can run, those that readeth it. Okay? I want people to see this and they can still trust that God's in control, that God's doing something. You can trust God. And they look at it and here Paul is talking to the Romans and he said, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know why? Because I know what's happening now is what God said would happen. I'm still putting my trust in Him. Because you know what I've learned? The just shall live by faith. To live doesn't mean not die. To live doesn't just mean eternal life. It means to have hope in this world. But let's turn over to Galatians. Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians in chapter 3. And look at, starting from verse 10. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, God's judgment upon the curse does not fall on the just that live by faith. Okay? Not because of our works, but through Jesus Christ. Amen. He said the same thing. Paul said, yeah, I got this. Somebody told the Romans, he said, I've got to tell the Galatians too. I want to give them the same hope that Habakkuk was talking about. And let's go over to Hebrews. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. We're going to find it once again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. He says here, verse 35, he says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of," what's that word? "Patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Listen, that phrase, draw back, means to go back to trusting in our own protection. So don't trust in you, because we fail ourselves. Don't trust in you. He said, listen, put your trust, your confidence is where your confidence in Christ, that's where our reward is. He says, you just need to have some patience. Let me look again at verse 36. "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." Okay, now let's go back to Habakkuk. Okay, go back to Habakkuk. You kept your place there. We're chapter 2. Look at verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry." Wait for it. What's another word for wait? Have what? Patience, right? He said wait for it. "Because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Sound like exactly what Paul was saying there in Hebrews, right? Man, this has got to write this down. Write this down, because this is where our confidence is going to be. This theme of the just living by faith has continued through the Bible and will until the end. So, point number three. Three of our 12 points. No, three of 3 points, okay? Third point. Babylon's coming judgment. Look at verse 5 now. "Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people." Now listen, Babylon here is depicted as a people that are completely opposed to the just that live by faith. Man, I'd like to just unfold this for a while, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say a few things. They instead of living by faith, they instead live of the wine. They live of their pride and excess, but they can never be satisfied. The Lord gives us a look at what will be coming for them in verse 6. "Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him?" A taunting proverb. You ever heard that? That's funny. A taunting proverb means exactly like it sounds. It's a mocking tale, a satire or a joke about them. So he said, what's going to happen with them? They are going to be a joke. They're going to be taunted. They're going to be made, it's going to be, they're going to be ridiculed in a sense as well. Look at the rest of verse 6. They're going to be they'll say, "Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee? And awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee." because of men's blood and for the violence of the land and of the city and all that dwell therein. Listen, Ephesians... let me say this first. The people will be mocking the Babylonians for their thoughts of how great their victory is. Oh, the Babylonians, they're going to sit high in their place, and they're going to think they've done such a great thing. Look at verse 9. He says, "Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul, for the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it." Ephesians 4:28 says this, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So, there's three ways to get wealthy. Three ways to get wealth, I should say. Work for it, right? Steal it, or receive it as a gift. No, you're like, well, you can't say, no. Some people, a lot of people, that's how they get wealth, by stealing it. But the eighth commandment says, thou shalt not steal. So we know that's not one. But the Babylonians took what wasn't theirs, trying to build an empire to glory self. Their goal was to find security, to set a nest on high. Hey, here's what God's saying. I'm going to use them for judgment. Right? I'm going to use them for judgment. But here's what happens. They're going to go too far. And they're already going too far. So there's judgment for them. By the way, I wish God would let me get a hold of them. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because it's a very, you know who God usually uses for this kind of work? The wicked. God doesn't hardly use the righteous to afflict people. I'm not saying never, but hardly is that God uses the wicked for what they already do. Their kingdom quickly came to an end. Look at verse 12. "Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establish a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves of the very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covereth the sea." Listen, Babylon built their kingdom with blood, but it will be brought to nothing. So here's what God's doing. Habakkuk says, "God, our people, our land, there's wicked, there's violence, there's everything, and I'm crying, you're not doing anything." God says, "I'm doing something. I'm doing something, and it's going to be massive, and you can hardly believe it. It's going to." And then Habakkuk said, "No, God, don't do that. How can you do that? That's not." God says, "Listen, don't worry. They're going to be judged too." God didn't owe him an explanation, but he wanted to give him this so that we could now see that what God says is going to happen is going to happen. The kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar on, hardly lasted 65 years before it was completely lost to Persia. You know, the battle of Babylon and Persia was a great battle. Huge. There's all kinds of history written about it. No, that's actually not true at all. Seemingly, Persia just walked in and took over Babylon. The king was so greatly hated, the people were ready to be turned. Yeah, we've had wars in our days, Middle East, some of these where, you know, there's this battle and people come in, we surrender. Surrender. Y'all got food, right? Surrender. They didn't want what was going on there. So God said, "Don't worry. I'm going to take care of those. They're going to be. You know what they're going to be? There's going to be this thing that there's going to be a taunting proverb about them. God used them for the work, but that doesn't mean they're going to be out of judgment for that. So what man builds without God can never last." Again, in verse 14, "For the Lord shall be filled," I'm sorry, "for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." So the knowledge of God would not be quenched by the work of Babylon, which maybe very likely was Habakkuk's fear. God, you're going to wipe out this land. You're going to wipe out this people, rather. He said, no, it's going to completely continue to cover the world. So Jesus Christ told his apostles, he said, I want you to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the, what? Uttermost parts of the world. What did they do? They did Jerusalem. How about we just do Jerusalem and stay? By the way, I want to give them a little bit of, it was dangerous. There was a lot of great persecution going on. They killed Jesus, and they wanted to snuff out the whole thing, right? And there's fear. And through the coming years, many of the apostles were killed for their faith. And we find this, and they wanted to huddle together and stay together in safety. And you know what they wanted to do? Let's just stay in church, and let's just have a sweet fellowship here, right? And let's just love one another, and let's put some walls around us. Let's block the windows. Let's lock the door. Let's just be safe in here. And what a sweet fellowship we can have. And we'll just, the world is already on their way to hell, as it says back here. They're just live. That's what they want anyway. Let's just let them go. God said, "How about this? How about I tick up some notches of persecution?" All of a sudden, persecution level in Jerusalem increased greatly. So it caused them all to be, what? Scattered. Right? And then, down the road, and we read about this in the book of 2 Corinthians and some of these kind of places. In the book of Acts, there became a famine in Jerusalem. So you know what happened then? All of these believers and churches that now were established by getting spread out were now reaching back to minister to them back there. You know what happened? God said, "I'm going to take care of you. Can you trust me? Can you trust my plan?" A lot of times, what we want to say, God, no. It's hard, God. God says, I want you, Habakkuk, write this so the people that run, they can run when they read this. Continue this thing. What a thrill it is to see that we have come extremely close of that day of the end. Look at verse 15. "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou hast, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land and of the city and of all that dwell therein." Listen, God is saying, listen, Babylon's drunkenness and violence, there's going to be judgment. This is what he said. Listen, everyone's going to get their due recompense. It's going to come. He said, the picture here is of a drunken man that vomits on himself. It's really kind of the picture here. It's like, it's rather a vulgar image that the Lord draws here. He said, he's trying to encourage Habakkuk and encourage us today. Listen, the world, yes, they're wicked. God said, "I'm going to take care." Don't ever sit here thinking, "God, but how can they get away with this?" The wicked, and there's so many other places, could have Psalms and how the wicked, how they're doing so great. And, I look to them, and God says, "Get your eyes off them. Get your eyes off them." But there's also, he said, there's violence against the land and the animal. And God said he's going to require it to be repaid. He said there. He said, listen, there's going to be all this kind of thing. He talks about the spoil of the beast. and the violence of the land. God had given Israel laws concerning when they went to war in a place, they weren't to chop down trees unnecessarily. Matter of fact, it said, you go back there in the book of Exodus, it talks about you're not to cut down fruit-bearing trees. So they're not in war. He said you don't cut down these fruit-bearing trees to make for the siege, right? To bust in the, you're not to cut those. Cut down the ones that don't produce fruit, but don't cut down these. God gave them rules of war. It's like, well, doesn't that make it unfair or uneven? Yeah, it does. I think America today still, I mean, publicly, we follow most of the rules of war against nations that absolutely do not. You say, well, doesn't that make it unfair for us? Politics today just gets dirty. I mean, lies, destruction, and incarceration. And well, doesn't it make it unfair when we follow the rules? It does. It makes it unfair. So you know what we have to do? This terrible thing. We have to trust the Lord. Yeah, but it's not fair. I know. And that's the good part. It's not fair, and God said it's not fair, and we're going to kind of handicap you a little bit so that the glory comes to me and not to you. So God is, you know, look at verse 18. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! To the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. The pointless idolatry is what he's talking about here, is God's telling. Even the Jews had participated in this through the years. Many prophets warned him over and over again, turn back from these. The nation of Israel turned to idolatry. I mean, there's excavations and they find all kinds of idols all through the generations in Israel. Like, oh yeah, they were idol worshippers. Yeah, many times they would turn back. And then they turn back. And then they destroy them. They turn back. A prophet would come and they turn back. But then at the end, they repented not. This is the popular philosophy of the world, that man is the highest thing in the universe. Man is, we are the top. It started with Satan, who said, I will be like the Most High. Remember that? And then he went and brought it to Eve and said, you will be like gods. Right? Man's philosophy that says, I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. Right? It's the polar opposite of the just shall live by his faith. Not only does it oppose God, but it's foolish. It's useless. So you go to these idols, you create these things out of stone, out of wood. I mean, can you just imagine God, how God delivered them from Egypt. They got out into the... Where is he at? It's been like, a month and a half, a little over a month now. What do we do? And Aaron's like, give me your earrings. Let's make an idol and then let's worship it. It brought us out. Like, y'all just made that, right? Y'all know he just made that. Well, wasn't there somebody over there like, this is dumb? Was there nobody? Was there nobody that said, this, what you're trusting in, this is foolish? Isn't it frustrating you see that? Was there nobody that stood up? Moses came back. He was a little ticked off. Threw the tablets down. And it's foolish. It's useless. What value is a God made by man? It doesn't breathe. It's not alive. You can't. Are we going to breathe into it the breath of life? Look at verse 19 again. Behold, it is late at the end of it. There is no breath at all in the midst of it. Here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion this morning. It's very simple today. It's this. God is not asleep on the job. God's not asleep on the job. All will be dealt with in its appointed time. And we will see that everything that God has said was not a lie, though it will take some time to come. All right? Wait on the Lord. It will surely come just as He said it was. Second thing, life is only found in one place. The just shall live by his faith. Folks, a Christian life that says, yeah, it's hard, I can't do that, is not a Christian life. So, I believe in God. So do the devils. The devils believe in God. And you know what they do? They tremble at him. But you know what many people want to do today? They believe in God and don't even tremble at him. If you really believed in God and who God said he was, we would be scared to death. Scared to repentance. Scared to, God is, I believe in God, but no, that's not enough. It's a thing, the just shall live by faith. Listen, life is not found anywhere else on anything else in this world. Though the world cries out to their idols, those idols cannot help them. Third thing, last thing. So today, here's our thing. Trust the Lord. Folks, the end is coming upon us rapidly. You believe that? I mean, if the end was at one time kind of walking, is jogging, it's on a sprint. It's coming up, and it's almost like you can see it. You're like, people have been saying that for a long time. I know they have, but we're much worse shape than it was when they were saying that before. So does that mean we're closer? I'll tell you, I promise you this, we're closer today than they were. And tomorrow will be one day closer. So when is it going to be, Pastor? Uh-huh. Soon. When it arrives, it's going to be just as he said it would. Even now, today, the Lord is in this place. Let us come humbly before him in faith. Read verse 20 and then we're going to close. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Let's all stand.